Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Bowman, and welcome to KBOO, Voices from the Edge. As you may notice, I am Dave Mazzaless this morning, but I hope he is mending well, and we look forward to having him back next week. Today, we want to review the 2011 legislative session that just ended and determine who won and who lost through this process. And of course, as I was thinking about this program this morning, on the front page of my paper was an article about the Oregon Department of Corrections and how their budget continues to grow. In fact, legislators gave the Department of Corrections $3 million additional dollars this legislative session. There aren't too many parts of the state budget that can say that. And you may be sitting there wondering, now why? Why would the prisons get $3 million additional dollars? Well, there's one person in the state I think you can thank for that, and that's Kevin Mannix, and more of those continuous mandatory minimum sentencing. As you may remember, the last legislative session actually suspended the implementation of the latest ballot measure 57, which is the one that actually will increase jail time for repeat drunk drivers and for some specific other populations. And with that measure, the legislature last session, because of budget difficulties, suspended it. But they didn't. But they are going to fully implement it, which means that they're expecting an increase of about 1,500 state prisoners over the next couple of years. In addition to the increase of $3 million, the Oregon Department of Corrections Department actually lost about 225 staff people. Programs to help offenders come back into the local community, reentry programs are being cut, training programs for staff are being cut. And of course, there are currently about 14,000 inmates serving time in a variety of prisons around Oregon. You may remember that we actually have several prisons that were built as part of an economic development program under our last governor, yet they've never actually had the resources to open and operate. One of those prisons, Deer Ridge Correctional Institute, you may remember the state borrowed $120 million to build this minimum security prison, but has never actually had money to operate that prison. But so taxpayers, you know, you're going to have several prisons around the state that we've actually paid to build, but actually never had the money to actually operate. That sounds like Multnomah County. That sounds like a bad dream coming back over and over again. So for me, when I look at the fact that 223 positions were lost, we're going to fully implement Measure 57. One of the things that this particular legislative body failed to do was actually look at the overall how we do corrections in the state of Oregon and actually make some tough decisions. I think I'm trying to find a polite term that I can use on the radio. I think it was buck passing. Oh, I can use that. Buck passing by this legislative session not to address this spiraling cost that corrections is taking out of the state budget. So that's one of the ones that I want to talk about, but I'm sure you have some kind of pet peeves of what happened this legislative session, and maybe you have some ideas about winners and losers. Who won? Who lost? Was this a successful legislative session? Give us a call and join this conversation, calling us at 503-231-8187. The other thing I will say is that if we continue to go down this mandatory minimum road that we've been on for quite some time, and what we know is that it hasn't had any impact at all on the crime rate, because nationally, even before we passed Measure 11, which is now, it's now almost 15 years old, since we've passed Measure 11, all across the country, the crime rate has gone down without our one strike, you're out law. And then as we continue to add these additional penalties that we provide mandatory minimums for, what we're not doing, however, is actually getting to the root causes is what's creating this kind of behavior in the first place. And this particular budget and this particular legislative session is not going to do anything to actually change that. So you may ask, what is the budget that we're going to spend in the next 2 years for the Oregon Department of Corrections? And if you ask that question, the answer would be about $1.362 billion. That's with a B. $1.362 billion is the total corrections budget for the 2011-2013 budgets period. And out of that, a total of $1.324 billion actually comes from the general fund. And so you can do the math and think, what could we do with an additional $132 billion, $1.32 billion in our budget? I think we could make some better investments. And unfortunately, we're not going to have that opportunity. So in my opinion, one of the losers are the people in Oregon because our legislative body did not have the political courage to actually look at our sentencing laws and make some adjustments so that we aren't spending these kind of resources consistently and just locking people up, because clearly just locking people up does not solve our crime problem. I know that there was a piece of legislation that did not pass this legislative session, and it was a bill that would have required cultural competency and healthcare by healthcare providers to ensure that healthcare providers understood the cultural norms of the patients that they were interacting with and providing healthcare service for. My understanding is that bill failed. It failed to get enough votes to get out of the House. And the reason, I was told, was because of an underlying fear, not something that people would talk about, but an underlying fear that somehow approving a bill that required cultural competency would somehow enable or support immigrants that were undocumented. And so the fact that that bill has been stalled once again means that there are going to be people that are not going to get the best health care in this state that they could get. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. What are your legislative winners and losers this session? Do you feel like this legislative session, and it was challenging, do you feel like this legislative session with the split in the House and a simple majority in the Senate, and Governor Kitzhaber back in office, do you think that this was the best that could possibly have happened this session, or you think that there were some opportunities that were missed? I certainly know that the Oregon State Police also are feeling that they were left behind this legislative session. It's interesting because after just returning from a trip to Washington State, I was absolutely amazed at how many state troopers were actually on the highway, especially over the 4th of July weekend. I was amazed by that. And I just a couple of weeks prior to that, I was in Eastern Oregon, and I didn't see a state trooper the entire time I was traveling through Eastern Oregon. And so I know that this is having an impact on our safety on the highway. And so, but Washington State seems to be able to find a way to fund their state police, but we have not been able to do that as of yet. So I have a lot of things that didn't happen this legislative session, but there must have been some positives. And if you know of some positives, please give me a call, because I think I'm depressing myself by talking about all the things that I know that I wish had happened but did not happen this legislative session. So pick up the phone. Give us a call at 503-231-8187. And I'm sure that somebody's going to call me and say, well, but we did fund schools. And yes, the good news, I guess, is that the school budget was decided early. But the school budget was certainly not sufficient as per what local schools are telling us to avoid layoffs and larger class sizes for students in the upcoming school year. And so there's going to be a lot of layoffs in school districts throughout the state, and we can expect that class sizes are going to get larger. So again, it's kind of a mixed bag in my view. So yes, we did in fact get a budget early enough that the schools could plan around. And so I guess one of the questions that I would have liked to have seen come up this legislative session is, when are we going to start the process of reviewing our tax code and our tax structure in the state of Oregon? Because unless we do that, we're going to continue to face these types of budget crises, especially since the economy is not rebounding as quickly as we're being led to believe that it is. So those are some of the things that I know that I have real concerns about as this legislative session has ended. And, of course, there's a very short legislative session that will take place in February of next year. But I'm really interested in what you have on your mind. What work was left undone this legislative session? Give me a call at 503-231-8187. Hello, Tim. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, good morning, Joanne. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Good. I was very discouraged to hear that the legislature decided to pull the tax breaks for the wind farms.
Hmm.
You know, you start out with the fact that there's a winter runoff.
Right.
Or spring runoff, which means that the dams can't let that water just go through because it puts nitrogen in the water.
Uh-huh.
Then you have that means that they have to turn off the wind farms. And the whole idea behind the wind farm was to supply the extra energy and go green, and which I was, you know, right, all for. And it's a huge investment. That's the problem. The infrastructure is going to require a huge investment. I mean, just the power lines alone. That grid has been there for 40, 50, 60 years now. And if it fails, you know, blackouts are going to be a common sight. So they take away the legislature takes away the tax breaks, which is what helped those people put that there in the first place. I don't get it.
Well, now, I remember reading some reports about the wind industry actually getting such a huge tax breaks that they were actually selling their tax credits to other companies.
That's a, you know, I didn't hear that. But
I was going to say, don't say that, please.
I'm sorry, Joanne, I didn't hear that.
You had, well.
But you know, here's the thing.
Okay.
If innovation today, which is stifled, there's always some roadblock to come along. If Einstein had been discouraged, if Edison has been discouraged, if Galileo had been discouraged, you know, we'd still be living in castles with oil-soaked rags lighting them.
You make some very good points. What was the reasoning that the legislature gave for eliminating those tax breaks?
You know, I did not read anything more about it than the recap of the session in the fish wrapper that we get.
I see. So have you talked to your legislator about it?
Yes, I have. I've written to Senator Merkler.
Good.
Wait. Yes.
Oh.
And
Senator Merkley?
Yes.
So he's a U.S. senator, right?
Right.
So this is a federal tax break that you're talking about.
Well, you know, I just will lay the seeds down wherever I can.
I see.
And you know, it is federal money and everything. It didn't even bother me. Didn't even come to mind about that, Joanna. It was just, you know, contacting someone and letting them know how unhappy I was.
That's right. That's right. And I agree with you that we have to create space for innovation, right? We have to be able to create the next industry. my pet peeve about the whole bailout was we're giving people billions of dollars to do the status quo, right? And it's like, if the status quo worked so well, we wouldn't have had this financial meltdown.
Well, I believe that the financial world was allowed to run roughshod over you and me. They were not watched. There were hundreds of red flags, and it was just allowed to happen.
Right.
But now that they're flush with cash, I got laid off last August on Friday the 13th. I was with the company 13 years.
Wow.
And before that, I lost a week of vacation, and everyone that was left behind me lost 10% of their pay.
Mm-hmm.
And so where are the jobs? Joanne, I've got 410 applications in for work. I've had a half dozen interviews. The hardest part is to get somebody to answer you, to tell you,
right.
You know, they're either going to interview you or they're, you know, it's either interview me or tell me to go away and never darken my door again. That's, I mean, that would be the kind thing to do.
That would be. And I feel your pain. But I also know the other side, right? As I bet for every one job that is advertised, there's probably about 1,000 applications for that one job.
Well, you know, in order to keep somebody from being that person that finally just gives up.
Right.
Okay, that's the person that we hear about, you know, when they do the tally the numbers. It's just, it's human decency. I mean, it's
right.
Lost. I mean, if you were to go leave your job, you give 2 weeks' notice, okay? That's how I was raised, okay?
Right. That's
you give
right.
them just time to find somebody else. But in states, which is most of them here in the United States, it's an at-will employment. They can let you go with 2 seconds' notice.
That's right.
And not lawfully have to give you a reason why.
That is the world we live in now. Yes, that is absolutely true.
Well, then, you know, that really reflects the state government then. That's a law that needs to be changed on the by the state.
I absolutely agree with that. But, you know, that's as unions decrease, right? Right now, you basically only see unions in public as public employees. But as union membership decreases, that's exactly what happens. All the power is in the hands of the corporation.
Well, I was working temp. I had the good fortune of a company in Portland that called me up and said, "How'd you like to go to work tomorrow?" I said, "Great." He says, "It's a week, maybe two, but," he says, "I have the impression that they're looking for somebody permanent." And I said, "Awesome."
Right.
So I go in there, and it's a company that builds pumps, international level company in
right.
Portland. And it's the best money I've seen. And so I go in there and I work 5 days. And behind my back, they call him up and they say, "Hey, we don't want this guy back." I said, "Well, what did they say?" And he said, "Well, it was the fact that you weren't strong enough on computers." And I said, "Before you sent me, I told you.
Right.
I have owned a personal computer since 1984, but I've never had the opportunity to use one on the job. Now, Joanne, if I'd have had that, kept that job, I would have lost 50 cents after 90 days, right?
Right.
And it would have gone to union dues. I'd have had a union job.
Right.
And it fell through for some reason. So
right.
I've never worked in it. I've never had a union job. I have no idea what's entailed.
Well, same with me. I've actually never had a union job, but my daddy did. And I understand that that was why we were able to own a home growing up. You know, I'm going to have to move on. I really appreciate you calling, and I certainly feel your pain, and thank you for sharing what your pet peeve was.
Thank you very kindly. I'll leave you with this one thought. If anybody out there wants alternative energy, you're going to have to find it yourself. And do yourself a big favor. Don't tell anybody else about it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. 503-231-8187 is the number to call if you want to join this conversation. Who do you think the winner and losers were this legislative session? As you've heard, I've got a whole list. I know that we, the people of Oregon, lost when the Oregon Department of Corrections budget was not changed. I know that the fact that people of color lost when we did not get a cultural competency in health care passed. But I'm going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Jordan. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, I have a positive.
Good.
For at least the potential of our citizenry to be better informed as to initiatives that are going to be, you know, on the bill.
Mm-hmm.
The Citizen Initiative Review is a council that's formed of all Oregonians.
Right.
Well, citizens, voters, and they basically, you know, have kind of an independent view and opportunity to form an opinion, an individual opinion on that bill and on that initiative.
Right. So this is new. It was passed as kind of a test, right? Mm-hmm. And in the last general election cycle, voters saw in their voters' pamphlet a statement from this citizen committee, right?
Yeah.
And those, how many people are there?
I'm not really up to date on all the specifics. I have a friend that worked on the project.
I see. So what we know is that there are a group of people from around the state that come together and review ballot initiatives and then write what their opinion of those initiatives are. And this is an independent view. So they're not people that are involved in either the yes or no campaign sides. These are people that are just regular community members. I don't know how they're picked, so we need some more information about that. But this particular legislative session, that committee has now become permanent. So it's going to be a regular part of every general election cycle is what you're telling me.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, yeah, they formed it after a successful pilot.
Uh-huh.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, well I'm calling from Salem. Listen to KBOO pretty regularly. I'm on my way to Woodburn to do a project with a radio station there.
Wonderful.
And yeah.
Well, thank you. That is
a community radio.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and that's an awesome station that you're headed to.
Raccoon, yeah.
All right. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for the call. 503-231-8187. So the Citizen Commission Committee that actually reviews ballot measures was created last legislative session as a pilot, and our last caller said that it is now going to be a permanent committee that will review ballot measures. And so if you want to call in with your positive or negative or hopefully one of each, feel free to give us a call at 503-231-8187. Good morning, Will. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, how are we doing?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm all right. It's pretty
good.
Okay. But I have kind of a mixed bag of concerned with the legislature.
Okay.
And let me preface that by saying I'm a very staunch advocate of single-payer health care.
Mm-hmm.
And also something of a fan of John Kitzhaber's Oregon Health Plan. And I'm concerned that the previous legislative session created a health care board of some sort that was given around $2 million to do a study of health care delivery in Oregon. And it had the mechanisms with it to do cost comparisons between the so-called private sector versus public sector healthcare comparisons of costs and outcomes. And it was my belief that they would produce some type of a study which would finally show this very, very crucial data, which I think is the key to winning the single-payer healthcare fight, just lining them up on a service-by-service basis and see what the costs are and what the outcomes would be from that would be very, very crucial to that debate. And I haven't seen that study, and I don't know if it was ever generated or produced. And I know that that healthcare board persists, and they are still funded to do some types of research. So I'm wondering if you or anybody with Onward Oregon or any similar organization is privy to either some studies or preliminary studies or things that they have done to finally crunch the comparative numbers on healthcare delivery.
Well, there was the Oregon Health Authority, right, was created manage the healthcare expansion, right? Last legislative session, there was this huge fight and effort to have healthcare for everyone in Oregon, right? And what we came up with was a health policy board that is tasked with ensuring that all Oregonians have healthcare by 2014. Initially, we started off covering all kids with the Healthy Kids Initiative. And so your question is, have comparisons been done? Have these studies been published? I can tell you that there is an Oregon Health Authority website that has all the information about what's taken place over this last year. I believe this legislative session actually created what was called nationally as a health exchange, which actually would allow people to be able to kind of shop for health care through this exchange process, right? And so they could compare. They could compare costs. They could compare what they would get through this health exchange. So that's the minuscule amount that I know from the last legislative session when I worked very hard on it. This session, I have not paid that much attention, but I can tell you that all the information about where they are, because you may remember DHS was actually split. And then the Oregon Health Authority is going to actually be responsible for healthcare delivery systems, and then the rest of the Department of Human Resources would do all the other stuff that that they've traditionally done. And so what I know is that they've passed additional healthcare legislation. People who are following this issue say that we got the exchange, so that's a very good thing for consumers. But it's a very slow, methodical process actually implementing this healthcare this healthcare reform system. And I agree with you. I mean, sorry for cutting you off, but one of the things I wanted to say is I was really, really frustrated last legislative session because I think providers got away with still having too much administrative costs. It just still costs way too much for people to actually be able to afford health care insurance, because our goal is to have healthy people, not to just have an insurance card in your pocket. You were going to say.
Well, there was a specific amount allocated for doing these studies.
That's
and
right.
So, and I haven't been able to find in my researches anywhere where these studies have done their deliveries. Now, I actually know the names of some of the key players there, and so I guess I'm going to have to start calling them personally to see.
Yeah, I suggest
the people actually on that board.
Right. Well, and I would also go to the website, see what you can find there, because there's just a bucket load of information on the website. And then I would agree with you. If you know people on the board, contact them directly and just ask them about the things that you're interested in.
Well, okay. I was hoping I might could smoke something out from one of your listeners or something, somebody who
well, we've got some certified. We've got some certified smart people that call us, so we'll find out if someone else can add to that.
I have one more point I wanted to make.
No, sir, I'm sorry. I've got calls backed up, so I'm going to really have to go and move on.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Bye. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, Mitchell. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, thanks. Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank KBOO for bringing issues that matter to Oregonians.
Well, thank you.
I have an issue. If any of your other listeners have been on, like, the YouTube for the Halo that was filmed over Portland on June 26th, I mean, there's lots of them uploaded there.
Hmm.
But I'd like to see a commission or a study on these stupid chemtrails and them blocking out our sunlight and being charged and fined. That would create income for us and probably increase our health. You know, I don't think that those things they're dumping in our skies are particularly made to extend our life. And if we did, our skies would be cleaner. It's a shame. It really is. Back in the days, I don't know if you can remember, but we used to go to places, the beach or picnics, and they would have sky riders who put out messages.
Right. I remember that.
Right. Now they put out these exclamation points throughout our whole sky that swell up and block out and milk our daylight. And that is a crime against humanity and against Oregon in particular, because we get that nice ocean breeze. And I think that those chemtrails, we should make them at least inject a color dye into them to make them a prettier color than just the regular old gray, you know, to try and blend them in with the clouds and fool people into thinking that they're not real. But have you seen the halo?
No.
Well, if you look on YouTube for the halo, there's a bunch of videos that got uploaded from Oregonians.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, thank you. And we need jobs. That would help these people who are going to be coming out of the prisons.
You know, you raise a very good point. The last election cycle, everybody was jobs, jobs, jobs. How many jobs do you think this legislative session has created?
None.
But none.
I'm trying my best to help create some, okay?
Well, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
503-231-8187. I forgot about that pet peeve. The previous caller just reminded me. Everybody that was running, jobs, jobs, jobs. We're going to create jobs. A, I've never seen a legislature create jobs, but, well, actually, I take that back because the former governor did, in fact, create jobs in little small communities throughout Oregon, building prisons. And, of course, we talked about earlier what happened with those. The prisons are there. We're paying the cost, and we can't afford to actually open them up and operate them because we don't have the money to do so. To me, that is stupidity, and that mean, and I think that somebody should be paying for that. I mean, how do you like spend that kind of money and then know you won't be able to operate it, and then, you know, pat yourself on the back and say, look at the jobs you created. Okay, I'm done. Back to the phone line. Hello, Laura. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Flora, but with an F.
Oh, what's that? Flora. Yes. Hi, Flora.
Hi. So that's the perfect segue. So I have a lot of pet peeves, but I'm calling because of a previous caller that was bringing up employment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an employment specialist for about 10 months in Gresham.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's money for workforce development. Everybody wants workforce development. So, you know, businesses, citizens, I would hope our government.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand where that money is going and what it's doing, because, you know, I don't know if it's going to government agencies that have so much bureaucracy that they can't actually figure anything out. But I know that there are some legitimate nonprofits that are doing very good work around employment, you know, and it's really not that complicated. But the thing is, we just need to be strategic around bringing people together around a very common goal, which is keeping jobs in Oregon and keeping smart people in Oregon, because I keep seeing a mass exodus of very talented people because they can go to San Francisco and they can go to Seattle and there are jobs there,
mm-hmm.
and they can get a lot of money. And quite frankly, the cost of living in Portland really is not that substantially different from those two cities where you can make twice as much.
Mm-hmm.
So until our government and our community starts to address that issue, it's only going to get worse.
Well, and, you know, you raise a really good point. Of course, we got economic stimulus dollars, right, for supposedly investing in job training. I've asked that question as well. So, you know, supposedly we're training people for union wage jobs, living wage jobs. But then for some reason, once they're done with the training program and the dollars are spent, there's no job at the other end.
Oh, no. Okay, you know, everybody wants to train everybody to be a CNA. I'll tell you right now, you're not going to get a CNA job if you haven't been a CNA before.
That's right. That's right.
that job is oversaturated, and unless you want to move to, like, you know, Southern Oregon mm-hmm. to be a CNA, just forget about it.
Right. Well, but at the same time, by 2014, we're all supposed to have health care. Right.
Well,
and so
true.
You and I know that there's no way on earth we're going to be able to provide. We're going to have providers to provide health care for everybody by 2014. Right. So if we were a smart state, we'd be like we'd be paying for some folks to be going to school to get some training in health care.
Because as an employment specialist, I sent people through WorkSource to get a CNA. You know,
right.
to be phlebotomist, to
right.
do all these things. Now, not only are they very talented people, but they're bilingual, mm-hmm. multicultural, all mm-hmm. of that stuff. And my biggest pet peeve is they want to pay them $10 an hour, not
right.
give them health insurance.
Right.
You know, basically ask them to do the crappiest job because you're the lowest of the low when you start off as a CNA.
That's right.
And, you know, wait for 5 years until you might make, you know, $15 an hour and might have health insurance, even though you work in the healthcare field.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just not okay.
You are absolutely right, Flora. Well, yeah, you and I share that pet peeve. And so, you know, in a few months, you're going to be getting all that information in your mailbox about how they're
right.
all about jobs. And so you will get to Flora, ask them, so what did you do last legislative session to create?
Right.
And how many did you create? And where can I go get one? Right.
Right.
Before you would consider giving them your vote another time. Right.
Right, right. And the last thing I'm going to say
okay.
is I hope this is Kissauber's third time, right?
Yes.
Isn't it?
Well,
okay.
no, this is his second time as governor and his third
okay.
term as governor, yes.
Third term as governor. Okay, so that is a huge advantage the state has, right? He learned the first time what not to do, the second time maybe what not to do, and this time I hope that, you know, that the legislature can work with the governor who actually, you know, third time's a charm and, you know, come together on some very common goals. It's really not that complicated. It really isn't.
No, it's not. Right. Thank you so much.
Thank
right.
you.
It's
Take
like
care.
There should be a common sense test, right, for people to serve in public office, but we haven't developed that test yet. 503-231-8187, legislative winners and losers. What side do you want to come down on, and who do you think actually made out this legislative session? Hello, Joanne. Welcome to KBOO.
Yeah, I'm going to go out to outer space. We're sending a shuttle to the International Space Station, I guess, tomorrow.
Yes.
And I heard Obama say something about probably in the future people will be able to take rides out of space. You know what? I guess the experts and intellectuals are going to have a big laugh my saying this, but I've been warned that the International Space Station, whether that place could be responsible for our problems with weather in the United States and that, and even for the chemtrails. But have a big laugh, folks. Goodbye.
Have a good day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, John. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
I've listened to you for a lot of years. I sure love your laugh.
Oh, thank you.
You keep in a wonderful mood, and it seems like in a great attitude.
Thank you.
And keep it up. Anyway, my points are that with all the troubles that we're going through, and I'm saying this to myself and my fellow Americans, it's the economy, stupid.
Yes, right.
Supposedly Clinton had that all over his offices in the, what was it, 96 election, I think.
Yeah.
And anyway, hey, I'm for Obama. He's all we have. I'm for Democrats. They're basically all we have. This is a two-party system, winner take all. Number one, we got to vote every election. I don't want to hear people say, hey, you know, they talk about their opinions all
That's
the
right.
time, but yet they can't even take the trouble to vote. And another one is that this is a rerun, I think, of the of history in the 30s. And this is a depression for a lot of people.
Yes, it
Probably,
is.
Probably, what, 20-25% of the workers, I would think, of us workers, we the people.
That's right.
And the only way we're going to get out of this thing is government spending. We the people
That's right.
pay taxes to the government. And it's right in our Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, the welfare of the people. And that's why we have a supposed democracy.
You
and
are
if
so.
We vote, we have power.
Yes. You know, I am so glad that you said that. Normally, I'm the one that says, you know, you gotta vote, you gotta vote. Of course, I grew up during the civil rights movement, so there's no question that I'm gonna vote, you know, no matter how mad I am with the people I'm voting for.
Darn right.
And you're right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I'm I'm in my mid 60s, so hey, I'm with you. I grew up with some of the same experience.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, there's no question.
And fights, right?
Right, that's right. But, you know, on the other side, what Obama did was actually galvanize a whole generation of apolitical youth. And my fear is that they have been disengaged now. You know, it's like they finally found somebody that they could believe in. And the reality is that, you know, if you close your eyes, the Obama administration looks a lot like the Bush administration.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough one.
Right?
But they've done some good things.
Yes.
And it's a heck of a lot better than any Republican. These Republicans right now, I don't care what this garbage corporate media says, they are, with a lot of code words, their main goal is to defeat Obama for the next election, and they're doing it. They're trying to bust this economy.
Yes.
This debt crap is a lot of BS. We are the richest country in the world. We have the credit to get this economy back on its feet, and the only way we're going to do it is with good old U.S. government, we the people, credit and spending, similar to what we did in the 30s.
That's right.
With the WPA, the CCC. Hey, we'll go up to Timberline. That's who built Timberline.
That's absolutely true.
All bridges, dams, roads. We got a lot of work out there to do.
But of course,
it needs to be done.
But of course, now Obama is just the president, right? He doesn't have the votes in Congress. We send other people to Congress to vote for our interests. So where's Wyden, Merkley, Blumenau, right? We've got a congressional delegation, and you know, and I have to say, Merkley is my hero. He has done some phenomenal stuff since he's been in Congress. But you're right. I mean, we have to vote, but we also then have to hold accountable the people we vote for.
Amen. And we have to remember that Obama, our governor, needs a majority, my opinion, of Democrats or progressive independents to get anything done. Because if it's not in the House, it's not in the House of Representatives, then we're not going to get hardly anything done. And it's called a majority, and Obama and Kitzhaber are not dictators. We still have a lot of democracy left if we use it.
Yes,
thanks
we do.
Lot, Joanne,
thank you. I really appreciate your call. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Yeah. So I bet you want to know what's coming up today on KBOO at 9 here at Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, the guest is Peter Bergen, the national security analyst for CNN, about his recent book, The Longest War. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoint observes the 6th anniversary of the massacre by United Nations troops against unarmed civilians in Haiti and its subsequent cover-up. Guests include eyewitnesses to the killings in July 2005. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Ed Goldberg speaks with Cara Black, author of a popular series of detective novels set in Paris. And at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, the guest is novelist Saboury Iyam. He talks about his book, Journey into a Man's Broken Heart. And as always, we want to thank our KBOO members. And if you're not a member, encourage you to go online, click the tip jar, and join us in being members of KBOO, your community radio station. I'm going to go back to the phone line. And we have Nicole on the line. Welcome, Nicole. Hi, Nicole.
Again.
Oh, I think we have lost Nicole. Hello, Pam. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
Thanks for the program.
You're welcome.
I have a comment.
All right.
I thought I was a well-informed person, but unfortunately I was not in all ways, i.e.
regarding the state legislature. The thing that really disappointed me that I knew about, besides some of the things that you mentioned, especially the money that prisons is getting and why, was I believe it was a House Bill 2700, which affects people out in, say, Malala, in terms of their land can simply be taken. And I think this was an end run by the people that want the pipeline for natural gas.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. And what really shocked me was that my senator, I won't mention his name, and my representative, which didn't surprise me quite so much, and I won't mention her name, and I do live in North Portland, both voted for this horrible bill. I mean, this is companies can come in and take your land without anything. They don't even have to pay you for it.
Under what circumstances could a company come in and take your land?
Because they want it for something of theirs. And I think that the magic word was, this will provide jobs.
Oh.
Jobs is being used as a magic word. it doesn't matter who gets the jobs or for how long, or how many, it will provide jobs. I think that's a magic word. But what this really leads me to is, Joanne, please tell us what information service is out there and easily accessible to everyone that tells us what's going on with the legislature, bills that are being introduced, so that we can, kind of gather our forces before they're passed, things like 2700, or at least do referendums and things like that. I'm ready to write here.
Okay, well, actually, that's a great question, and it is a website that you can go to, and it's www.leg.state.or.us.
State.or.us. I've got that.
Okay.
Thank
you
very,
are very,
very
welcome.
Much.
And so, but let me warn you.
Okay.
Each legislative session, over 3,000 bills are introduced.
Right?
And as we get towards the end of legislative sessions, a procedure happens called stuff and gut and stuff, where what you thought the bill said, 6 months ago, it actually reads just the opposite 6 months later, right? As a regular person who's just trying to keep an eye on kind of, what's going on in the legislative session, I encourage you to use that website, but I also encourage you to the bills that you care passionately about.
Yes.
If one of your legislative elected leaders is someone that you think you can work with, then have their office track those bills that you care about. And they can notify you when the bills are going to be scheduled for a hearing. They can actually send you copies of amendments as they're introduced.
Wow.
And so build a relationship with your legislator, the one that you know you can work with, and then trust that their staff will actually inform you every step of the legislative process.
Oh, that's really good.
That's the kind of the shortcut to trying to go through 3,000 bills as a regular person who's just interested in whatever the particular issue is.
Well, thank you very much.
You are very welcome.
Very
now, give me that number again. Was that a House bill or a Senate bill?
I believe it was a House bill, 2700, and it's just the taking of land, basically.
Well, I'm going to pull that bill up because it makes me a little nervous when somebody can just kind of walk in and take your land.
Well, I heard about it after it had passed, and I heard about it basically on KBOO, on Chris Andre's show, so that might be a good idea, but it just led me to the other thought. And thank you for the website.
You are very welcome.
And I'm going to hang up, and you'd like to repeat that website.
I will definitely do that before
bye-bye.
The end of the show.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your call. Have a great day.
Thank you.
503-231-8187 is the number to call. And so I have pulled up the bill that our last caller was speaking in regard to. And House Bill 2700 is related to removal fill permitting program and declares an emergency. And it was declared an emergency. And declaring it an emergency just means that it becomes law right after it has been signed. And so, let's see. When I look at a bill that I don't know a lot about, a lot of times I want to know, like, who sponsored it. And a lot of times I want to know who voted against it, because that tends to tell me a lot about whether the bill was a good bill or a bad bill. On this particular bill, one of the people that I actually looked to, one of the legislators I actually looked to give me information on environmental bills is Senator Jackie Dingfelder. And so as I look at the final reading, the third reading of this bill and the day that it was passed, I see that Senator Jackie Dingfelder voted against it. Senator Ferrioli voted against it. Senator Girard voted against it. Senator Johnson, Pazansky, and Wittesett all voted against it. So what's interesting is that that's a bipartisan group of people that voted in opposition to that particular bill. And so I'm going to have to read more about it and talk to my legislators and find out really what's behind this particular bill. And so if you want to try to squeak in before the end of the program, the number to call is 503-231-8187. As we know, normally when government is able to take your land, it's called eminent domain. But I don't know a case, and this bill might be a first, where private industry can actually come in and take your land and then call that progress. And, you know, as our fabulous engineer has said to me, Steve, you know, who keeps me on my toes, Jobs is spelled P-R-O-F-I-T. Profit. No doubt about that. And so I think this legislative session really has been a mixed bag. I think it really has been. There have been some good that's come out of it. But for me, there's still a lot of work that's undone. We started off the legislature talking about creating a state bank. We ended the legislature with no one even mentioning a state bank again. So, you know, is that a good idea? Will that come up again next year? I guess we will have to wait and find out. But the best that what we should be doing now is actually trying to have conversations with our legislators after they've had a week or so of rest. Now it's time to start talking to them about the next legislative session. Now it's time to start talking about bills that you want to see them push through. Knowing that next year is a 30-day session means that there won't be a lot that will be accomplished in that period of time. So there will be a very narrow agenda. But as Oregonians, we absolutely have to make sure that jobs is not just a campaign slogan, but in fact that the people who say that they want to be our elected officials actually have a specific plan with specific numbers and specific activities that will lead ultimately to living wage jobs for Oregonians. We can no longer afford to leave that effort to the private industry, because, you know, right now those private industries are pretty much having their say, as we've heard from several callers who've been looking for employment for quite some time. Our democracy, as always, will only work as well as we make it work. And so we have a responsibility to make sure that the people who, you know, send us that fancy material, who stand up at those town hall meetings and tell us what a great, wonderful job they did, that they're able to prove it, that they're able to actually clearly show that they actually have made our life better in Oregon. And I want to make sure that I give you that website once again. As I said, is www.leg.state.or.us. And from that website, you can find any bill that was introduced. You can find out who sponsored it. You can even find out who voted for it and who didn't vote for it. You can find out what the whole process was for that bill. And you can track all the individual amendments that made it through that process as well. And on House Bill 2700, on the House side, I see that there was a huge 18 people voted in opposition to this bill on the House side, and 40 voted yes on the House side. And the majority, and it was, again, a bipartisan group, not as bipartisan, primarily Democrat on the House side, that voted in opposition to this bill. And so clearly this bill was not a slam dunk, and it does appear that there was a lot of opposition, but that bill made it through anyway. And so the 2011 legislative session is over, and for better or worse, we have what we have. The 2012 session has now started. The planning for the 2012 session has now started. And I've got one more call I'm going to try to squeak in, if, in fact, my wonderful caller can keep it to 30 seconds or less. Hello. Welcome to K-Boot.
Hi.
Have I got a hold of you?
Yes, you're here.
Wonderful show.
Thank you.
I remember I read someplace that they said someplace, I don't know, in a strange document it was by the people for the people.
Oh, yes, yes. I think
when did it turn out being by the corporations for the corporations?
Hey. Well, actually, when the Supreme Court said that money was free speech, and the more money you have, the more free speech you have, that's when.
I've been tongue tied, then, haven't I?
Yeah, you and me both. Thank you so much.
Now, at least you're on the air. At least we get to still support you.
Well, only because we support community radio. Without individuals supporting community radio, man, what kind of world will we be living in right now? Thank you.
No different.
No different.
In the same world. It's just that KBOO is an outlet for us to vent our frustrations, but no matter how much logic we put on the airwaves or try to do ourselves, nothing transpires from that.
Well, I have to tell you, I am still an optimist. We haven't done it yet, but I still believe we can. Thank you so much for calling us today.
You have a good day, ma'am.
You do the same. You have been listening to Joanne Bowman. This has been Voices from the Edge. Dave Mazza, get well. See you next week. And actually, Dave will be here and I won't be here next week. So have a great week and we'll see you next time.